Good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be back with you tonight. I appreciate your presence so that we can worship our God together. Tonight we're going to be back into the book of Romans. Looking at Romans chapter 1, and we'll be picking up in verse 18 if you want to be turning there. As we've noticed, the first 17 verses of the book of Romans, Paul has laid out really what he's going to discuss through the majority of the book. Now, the opening verses, he does as he always does. He introduces himself. He talks to the brethren that he's writing to, encouraging them and letting them know that he's praying for them. And then in verses 16 and 17, he lays out what is kind of like a thesis statement. And he talks about the fact of the power of the gospel to solve the problem of sin. And after laying out that fact, he then now in the end of this chapter, and in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, goes into how deep the problem of sin is. In the rest of this chapter, he talks about how the Gentiles had sinned, how they had rejected God and gone into sin. In chapter 2, he focuses in on the Jews and lets us know that the Jews have sinned. And then in chapter 3, of course, we have that statement, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so as we go through these chapters, Paul is showing us the problem of sin and the need for salvation. As we look at this section in verses 18 through 32, we're noticing the revelation of God. It begins by talking about the fact that God has revealed Himself. In verses 18 through 20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You go through the Bible, and anytime you encounter the wrath of God, y'all, that's not a good thing. We see early on the wrath of God when Noah and during his time, when the world was so steeped in sin that God destroyed that world through the flood, sparing only Noah and his family. We see the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah both having the wrath of God poured out upon them because they had turned away from God and rejected God. And there is coming a day, Paul talks to the Thessalonians about the fact that one day God will be revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, anytime the wrath of God is revealed, that's never a good thing. And we see here where God's wrath is directed. It's directed towards all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And notice these individuals also, the Bible says, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There are those today who don't want the truth of the Bible to be heard. Why? Because it goes against what they want to do. Because it goes against the life that they want to live. This should not be surprising. Paul says that the exact same thing was happening during his time. In verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Friends, you want examples of an intelligent designer, of a creator? You don't have to go any farther than your own body. How it's put together, how it works together. Friends, that's evidence right there. That you and I did not evolve from some lower life form, but instead we were created by an all-powerful Creator. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul says the Gentiles, even though they might not have had the Old Testament scrolls as the Jews did, now, when he gets to the Jews, he's going to say, y'all are no better. You had it, and you didn't obey it. But he says the Gentiles, even though they didn't have that, that doesn't mean that they get off scot-free here. Because he says they knew. The world around them testified to the fact that I exist. The world around them testified to the fact that there is a God in heaven. He says, so they knew as well. It reminded me of Psalm 19, where the psalmist talks about the fact that the worlds declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And so God revealed Himself to them through the things that they could see, through the creation. But of course, as you and as I know, even though God revealed himself, for the most part, God was rejected. In verses 21 through 25, we see the rejection of the God of heaven. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Friends, darkened hearts produce darkened lives. And as you continue on in the text, we're going to see that that's exactly what took place. Notice Paul says they knew that God existed. They knew that he was the creator, but they didn't glorify him as such. They didn't put God in his rightful place in their lives. Friends, God has a rightful place. And when we don't put him there, that's meaning we don't glorify him. And that's what the Gentiles had done. They had not glorified him. They had not put God in his rightful place in their lives. Notice, because of that, they were not thankful to God. And as a result, they became futile in their thoughts. In verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You look at the idols that were present during this time, especially I think about the idol worship in Egypt. Many of those idols took the form of man-like beasts and different animals. And all of these things, they began to worship these things instead of the one that had created these things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so Paul lines out the fact that these people, although they had been given all the evidence that they needed to believe that there was a God in heaven, to believe that there was a Creator, they chose to reject that. They chose not to put God in his rightful place. And instead, they put these idols and these things that they created in the place where God should have been. And that brings us to where we want to spend our time tonight. And that is the result. Friends, if you want a commentary on the world in which we live today, this end of the book, of the chapter, first chapter of Romans, is a commentary on it. When God is rejected, when he is not put in his proper place, there is a line of events that follow. And Paul outlines what takes place. And you can follow along in our society and other societies throughout the centuries and notice this progression. It happens every time. When God is rejected, here's what happens. Number one, because of that rejection, there's ignorance. Going back to verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Notice that last phrase there, those last two words, they are without excuse. Paul says that they had no excuse to reject God, to not believe that he existed, because God had given them everything that they needed to know. God had made himself known to them. And for them to then reject God, they proceeded in ignorance. Don't we see that in the world today? So many that are ignorant of what God has said. So many that are ignorant of God's commands. I don't usually talk about politicians, but this has been in the news so much. Vice President Kamala Harris recently talking about how people do not have to abandon their faith in order to support abortion. I don't know if you've seen those comments that she made recently or not, but once again, it's an ignorance of what God has said. It's an ignorance of what God has revealed in His Word. And we see that throughout. It never fails. And I've made this statement before. But you watch a news reel of some event, and if they're going to a Christian for a perspective of what's taking place, they will always find the person who has no idea what it means to be a Christian and no idea what the Bible teaches. Every time, I don't know how, if they've got like a radar that tells them this is the person we want to interview or what. But brethren, when people reject God, when they turn away from Him, ignorance of Him and His will is always what results. And that's what had happened here with the Gentiles. They had rejected God, and as a result, they had proceeded in ignorance of what He wanted for them in their lives. But it wasn't just ignorance, it was also ingratitude. Notice verse 21. Because although they knew God, notice they knew that God existed, they knew that there was a Creator. God had revealed that to them. But they decided to be ignorant of that, and they did not glorify Him as God. They did not put God in His rightful place. And as a result of that, they weren't thankful to Him. Friends, ingratitude is one of the first steps towards unfaithfulness. When we cease being thankful to God for all that He has done, we're beginning to walk a road that will lead us away from Him. These people were no doubt blessed by God. They had things in their lives that they should have thanked God for, but they didn't. Why? Because they had chosen to turn away from Him. They had chosen to be ignorant of the things that He was doing for them. Not only was their ignorance and ingratitude, but they also became illogical. In verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Once again, just take a look at our world, brethren. Take a look at our nation. So many things that are true and easy to understand are being rejected. So many people putting themselves in position to say, look how wise I am, when really what they're saying is foolish. But friends, that's what happens when we reject God. That's what happens when we turn away from Him. That's what happens when we don't put Him in His rightful place. And those who have rejected God always put themselves in the position of the wise ones, and those who are following God as the ones who are dumb. All those Christians, they're just backwards hicks. They don't understand anything. When if we actually sit down and look at the evidences, the science, true science, not the pseudoscience that so many push today, many of those things point to the existence of a Creator, to the existence of the God of heaven. Also, the individuals who profess to be wise, they become rude, disrespectful to those who they deem foolish. In academia, and I don't know if you've ever watched any of the documentaries, but there are a lot of different documentaries about in academia. You so much as whisper the idea of intelligent design, you are immediately ushered out the door. You so much as say anything that does not line up with the agenda of the day, you can find somewhere else to teach. We have individuals all over this country who are being removed from teaching positions, who are being fired because they have the gall to stand up to the wise of the world today and say, I'm not so sure that's right. These people have become illogical. But then from that, they move into idolatry. In verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Of course, as you continue on in the passage, they began to serve the creature instead of the Creator. Friends, when we don't put God in His rightful place, guess what? Something's going to go there. Something has to be put in that place. Coming up in November, I'll be gone to Indianapolis for the lectureship that they have there. And one of the topics I was handed was the topic of humanism. Now, when I first got that topic, I was like, really? But as you study the idea of humanism, humanism is the belief that everything can be answered within us. We have the power and the ability to heal the wrongs, and that really religion is no longer needed. That in order for humankind to advance and to evolve, we've grown past the point of God. We no longer need God. We no longer need religion. Those things are holding us back. And we as humans have the ability to fix the problems in our world today. We as humans have caused the problems in our world today. And if we would go back to God's design and God's plan and God's way, well, then that would fix the problems in our world today. But that's exactly what has happened here that Paul's describing. They had rejected God, and as a result, now they were worshiping themselves as gods. They were making these things in their image instead of realizing that they had been made in God's image. The idea of worshiping these idols has always been amazing to me. That they take this tree and they cut it down. They carve out this section and then they carve it into the design of whatever it's going to be. They create it and then they say, here's my God. And we look at that and how ridiculous that is. But oh, we have idols in our country today, don't we? They're not little wooden carved statues. No, they're musicians and athletes and actors and actresses. There are jobs, our hobbies, sports. There are all of these other things that we look at these Gentiles and silly Gentiles worshiping that little. But friends, we put things in God's place. It might not be a carved statue, but it serves the same purpose. When we reject God, idolatry is one of the things that results. From that, they moved to immorality. In verses 24 through 27, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Notice, this does not mean that God forced them to do what they're doing. The idea that God gave them up is God said, okay, if you want to do this, then I'll get out of the way. You've rejected me, you don't want me, I'll kindly step aside. Friends, when we tell God we don't want Him, then God will move out of the way. And that's what these people had told God, we don't want you, and so God gave them up. To uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Paul says once God is out of the picture, then friends, anything goes. And without a standard of right and wrong, y'all, we don't ever get it right. When you go all the way back to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. You go back and look during the days of Noah, when man was left to his own devices, what happened? The whole world descended into wickedness. Friends, when there's not a standard before us, then that's what takes place. I realize we normally run to this passage as a passage which talks about the sinfulness of homosexuality, and rightfully so, that is what it teaches. But I think when we only go to the passage for this right here, we miss something that Paul is trying to show us. And that this sin and all other sins are the result of rejecting God as their creator. The result of not putting God in his proper place, not glorifying him. They are the result of deciding our way is better than his way. God has designed the sexual relationship to be between a husband and a wife. And outside of those confines, it's sinful. And when they rejected God, they rejected that plan that God had designed. But not only that, they continued further. And that brings us to our final point, incorrigibility. It's not a word we use often. It means not able to be corrected, improved, or reformed. Notice beginning in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Wow. I'm going to talk about a list of things. And all of it because they had rejected God. Friends, when we reject God, this is the end result of that. This is where it always leads. The ignorance and the ingratitude, the illogical, the idolatry, the immorality, and then to this. But notice the final verse. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God. Notice what he says. These individuals, although they had rejected God, although they had descended into all of these different sins, they still knew it wasn't right. They still knew that what they were doing would bring about the judgment of God. Go all the way back to the beginning of verse 18 where we started. It started about the wrath of God being revealed on unrighteousness. And here's the unrighteousness. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Is that not a statement of our nation today? Who not only approve of sin, or not only commit sin, but approve of those who do it as well. Friends, that's the world in which we live. But it doesn't have to be. And it shouldn't be. When we turn from God, sin is what comes out of that. But remember, Paul is writing the book of Romans not to just tell them that they're all sinful. He's writing to tell them how to fix that sin problem. And friends, that's done through the gospel. That's done through the fact that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's done through us believing in him as the Son of God and turning from sin, confessing that belief and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. We've done that, but we've turned away from Him. That's done by coming back to Him. We serve a God who wants to save us, who wants us to follow Him. But we have to make that choice. Are you following Him this evening? Friend, if you're not, will you choose to change tonight? And will you make that decision right now as we stand and sing?